You are listening to the Mompreneur Mindset Podcast, a show that empowers you to create a business that's authentically yours. Say goodbye to stressful days, juggling multiple priorities, and feeling like you're never enough. I'm your host, Gianna Diggs, a certified mindset coach and business guide for women and mom entrepreneurs. I'm here to empower, guide, and align you with the tools and the mindset needed to build a thriving business that's true to your purpose. In each episode, we'll explore strategies, tips, and success stories designed to help you rise above your obstacles and level up your mompreneur game. So whether you're a first-time entrepreneur or a seasoned professional, grab a cup of tea, some quiet time away from the kids, and let's dive into the mompreneur mindset together. Are you ready? Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the Mompreneur Mindset Podcast. So on today's episode, I have another guest and we're going to be talking about a few different topics. And it's because she has a lot of things that I thought was going to be interesting and we couldn't really make up our mind on which one we wanted to talk about. So we kind of made a combination of all three topics and we're going to be talking about changing countries and being an international worker, using video in your business to make connections. So something cool that she did to pitch me to be on my show was she sent me a video, which was very interesting. No one's ever done that before. And that's something that really got my attention. And it may be something that I did mention in the episode that I thought was really cool. And then she also talks about being a parent and deciding to go into entrepreneurship. And so these topics are really interesting. It's a very interesting interview. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my guest. Her name is Na Ottawa Flowick. And so a little bit about her. She is the creator behind Paper Flow Designs. She helps crafters learn how to use digital art to make handmade craft projects for their family and friends. While living in France as an expat mom, she started making digital illustrations, also known as SVG files, as a way to use her artistic skills and be creative every day. She saw that she could reach people with her art and help fellow artists, crafters, and small businesses with their projects, and she started creating SVG designs and selling them online. She now has over 10,000 sales in her Etsy shop, all of this while she's still working a 9-to-5 job, and she runs her business as a full-time mompreneur, doing school pickups and drop-offs and running a household from abroad. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. Hi, Na Ottawa. Thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Jenna. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to cover a lot of different topics because that's kind of what we came up with when we spoke. And I am excited for the topics we're going to cover. But I wanted to just mention when I was thinking of all the different things that we're going to talk about, how they were connected, I realized that all the topics really, it takes dedication, motivation, and creativity, especially with time management, to be a mom, an entrepreneur, all while living in a foreign country. So those are the key things we're going to talk about today. And so I'm really excited to get started in our conversation. So the first question I have for you is, tell us a little bit about your journey as an entrepreneur. Like, what drove you to start your own business?
Okay, I'll say for me, it was like an outside force that drove me. Like, I never thought that I would be an entrepreneur. I thought, okay, I'm going to work with somebody else for my whole life. That's totally fine with me. I'm not built for that entrepreneurial life. That's for, like, you know, strong people. That's for other people who have it all together. And little by little, I was having conversations with my cousin, who is an entrepreneur. And she was just like, you know, what are you doing with your art? You don't do anything anymore. And I'm like, I had a list of excuses. It was like, you know, roll it down. I can't because I have, you know, kids. My kids get home from school. I get home from work. I have to make dinner. Keep on. And she's like, And so eventually I got tired of her nagging me and I started to learn how to make digital drawings and put them on Instagram and I started getting orders. And then I was like, oh man, this is like a thing. I'm going to have to like follow through and do this thing. And that's kind of like where that led me to be a blogger and a digital illustrator that I am today.
I love that. Sometimes we have to have people in our lives that kind of put fire under our butts to make things happen. And so it's good that you had a cousin who kind of recognized your talents and was able to get you moving. And I also love that she kind of moved you away from this idea of your kids being the excuse, because I think as moms, that is usually the number one excuse that I see as a coach, but also what I see around me and my family is like, oh, I want to do this thing, but I have kids to take care of. Oh, I want to do this thing, but you know, I'm going to wait for the kids to get older. So I'm really glad that you recognize that and you kind of move forward with something that is making a difference in your life and your family's life. So you were able to grow to over 10,000 sales in your Etsy shop while working a 9-to-5, which I loved. I think that's so cool. And so one of the ways that you were doing that, that you did that, was by making connections via video. And I just want to give a little pro tip that Nadwa actually pitched me through a video, which I was so surprised by that. Like, I got a chill just thinking about it, because that was, no one's ever done that. And I think that is such a cool way to kind of put yourself out there. And to me, that feels like a strength of yours and using that. And so how has using video helped to grow your business? And the most importantly, how do you even make time to create videos in the first place?
Well, I'll start out by saying that I didn't think that I would ever be using video. This is like, it seems like everything that I'm saying, if I always start saying, like, you know, I never thought that would be me, because I know a lot of people think like, oh, it's hard to use video. I don't want to be on camera. I don't want to have to like get ready. First of all, right, I'll tell you, there's no get ready for me. I'm not the one with the beat face. It's not me. So I didn't have to worry about that. And I realized that, you know, I don't have to do all those things. It's not because, you know, person A is doing that I'd have to do that. I can just come on and be me. But even saying that, the first time that I ever, you know, took the camera and, you know, put myself in front of it, I was nervous, like, you know, bubble dead to the stomach, hands shaking, voice shaking. But I just hit record and said, you know what? Okay, if it, somebody laughs, oh, well, then somebody laughs. And you know what? Nobody laughs. So I kept on using video. And let me share my three easy, I call them my lazy method ways of using video, because I'm a girl who loves shortcuts. So one thing that helped me with my Etsy shop was that when customers would write to me and ask me questions, instead of like taking the time to write out the whole answer, and even though Etsy does have like little shortcut blurbs that you can say, sometimes that wasn't enough, or sometimes I need to add something to it. So I would just like, you know, whip out my phone and just record the answer. That would take like, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 1 minute max, and then just send that to them in an email. Also, because in the beginning, I used to do custom work, and anybody who's done, like, you work with clients or you have to do a service, you know that there's going to be some back and forth. They're going to send me questions, answers. They're going to ask you to change things. If you have a package, you're like, no, but I see the package. Can you do this? You're like, oh, okay. So instead of me going and writing everything all over again, I'm just going to answer you in a short, quick little video. Whether I record it on my phone, if I'm outside, I can do it, or I can record it right in front of my laptop. So method one was customer service videos, and I saw people like that. So then I started using it for like client retention, I'll call it. So when people would just write, because I have an email list, I'll write to people and send them blog articles showing them tips of how to use the drawings that they've bought or they're thinking about buying. And some people would write me back, you know, and say, oh, I'm thinking about starting a small business of my own, or I don't know how to do this, and they have questions again, or they just have something to say, or they just introduce themselves. So I would do the same. I would introduce myself back in a video. I'm like, okay, I don't have time because, you know, I've got kids just like, you know, you guys do. I've got other things going on. How can I still give this person attention because I value them as a customer or as a future client? I can send them a short video and people appreciate that because they can see you and they're like, wow. I even have people write me back and say, oh my God, nobody's ever like, you know, replied to me and like sent me a video and like actually like, you know, answered me. It's like, you're a real person. I'm like, yes, I'm a real person. And the last method, I feel it takes too long. I would say I use that for SOPs. SOPs are just standard operating procedures. All that just means is like how you run your business. Now, I'm still small level, so people use that to give instructions to their team. While I don't have a team, but I do have a teenage daughter who helps me out when she's like on vacation from school. So she does like admin stuff for me, social media stuff. And instead of me like sitting down and telling her every single time, okay, you know, this is how you edit the photos for the listings or whatever, I sit down like while I'm actually doing it myself, I just do a screen record. So I do a screen record video and maybe I'll like talk through the instructions as I'm doing it. And I can save that so she can go back and refer to that when she has time to do that work for me. And then bonus is that if eventually, you know, my team grows, I still have those instruction videos for other members to see and refer back to. So those are my three easy, lazy methods of how you can use video. And it's helped me in my SE business because, like Gianna said, it got me to over 10,000 sales. So once I saw that it was working, I thought, okay, keep going with the video.
Right. I love that because I think we're very often resistant to video. I know that I dabble back and forth because of the whole, you said, getting dolled up, right? I'm not someone, I don't, you know, beat my face. I don't get super, like, do a lot of makeup. But if, like, my hair is not where I need it to, like, that'll stop me. Or if I'm like, oh, what am I going to wear? Like, you know, just little things like that. And so I'm glad that you kind of just took the imperfect action of just like, oh, this is easy. Okay, I'm going to do it, and how it's helped to grow your business. So I think the lesson in that is just trying it, right? It's because we can't, oh, I'm resistant to that. I don't like video. I don't like showing up on camera, right? You said you just tried it and it helped you. And so you kept moving with it. And so I love that you have like a, and you have lazy ways of doing it. Because I think that we are always on our phones, but we're resistant to being on camera. And so those two things don't really line up, because it's like, if you're always on your phone, you can just whip out your phone and use it, as opposed to like, you don't have to use the laptop to record a video. That's why we have smartphones. So I think there's definitely a lesson in that. So let's talk about time management for a second. So, you know, you have your Etsy business, you know, you have children. How do you make time for both your kids and your business?
I realized that I needed to start delegating more things, because I was just used to, like, you know, just doing it myself. I think we've all been there when we're like, oh, I can ask somebody else to do this or to help me, or oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll just do it myself because it'll be done my way. But sometimes you don't have the time to do everything. But we never have time to do everything. So I started getting my kids involved. Like, they already had some chores, but I kind of like stepped it up a notch. I'm like, these kids are old enough where they can, you know, they can help out and clean around the house. You know, doing things like taking out the trash, doing the dishes, all things that, you know, it was just me doing before. And then I realized, like, no, if I can have them do this, okay, that's 5 minutes for me. That's 10 minutes for me. That's 15 minutes that I can, like, you know, set up my social media schedule for my Pinterest pins. That's, you know, another 2 minutes even to answer maybe 2 emails from customers. So definitely delegating things out to my kids, because, you know, I'm not at that level yet where I have a housekeeper. Let's put a pin in it, because that's going to happen. But I'm not there yet. So I'm like, these kids can step up and help out too. And it's giving me back a lot of time.
Right. So how would you say a typical week? Like, what does that look like for you?
For me, now that I've just gone full time as of the beginning of this year. So before, I was juggling going to work in an office and, you know, coming home at night to work on my side hustle. It was my side hustle at the time. So I had to, like, you know, really be strict with my time. So when it was bedtime for my kids, it was bedtime. It's like, no, you can't have an extra 15, 20 minutes, because that was the time that, you know, I needed to work, to make drawings, to put up listings and things. I would use things like, let's say a typical day, I go to my 9-to-5 job, or I drop off my son at school, go to my 9-to-5 job, come home, make dinner, and then, like, 9 o'clock, that was my time to work on my side hustle. So I had, like, you know, timers that I use. So I know, okay, 25 minutes, I have this Pomodoro timer that's going to go on. I'm going to have, like, 25 minutes to make a new drawing that I'm going to list. When that timer goes off, I'm going to, like, list it in my shop. And it was just, okay, 3 times, 25 minutes. Do I have me do math on here? Because it's going to be embarrassing. But it would be that time that I would reserve so that I could get things done, and it would push my business forward. So I just really had to be clear on how much time I was going to spend on each thing that I was going to do nightly. So that was like Monday through Friday, that was like that. And then Saturday and Sunday, of course, you know, I spent time with the kids. I mean, for someone else out there, it might be they wake up earlier in the morning. But for me, it was working at night after I put the kids to bed.
Right. I love that, because it removes excuses. Right. Because oftentimes we create excuses as to why we can't do something. And so I love the intention that you set, right, that you were very intentional about the time you were spending of, you know, because when you said like, oh, extra 5 minutes, my daughter does that all the time. She's like, Mom, can I have 5 minutes? And like, I'll give her the 5 minutes and then she goes to bed. That's like her nightly thing. Can I get 5 minutes after she takes a shower? But I love that you just said, okay, I know that I want this to work. Here is, you know, you did the Pomodoro, that's the Pomodoro method you were referring to. And so I'm going to do, you know, 3 blocks or 4 blocks of 25 minutes. And here it is, right? It's done. I take that 90 minute to 2 hour block and that's done. And you're doing that and you're making that sacrifice. And you also mentioned about spending time with your kids, because I think that's super important, because it's very easy to be in front of your laptop. It's very easy to say, well, because I work a 9 to 5, my weekends is when I work on my business, right? And so you found that balance of like, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my evenings, but I'm not going to sacrifice my weekends. And I think that is like the message, right? That's the key part of this time management, because that's where the struggle is saying, I'm going to put this aside because I need to spend this time and enjoy this time with my kids. And I'm going to sacrifice my evenings to make this happen. And look where you are now. You have your 10,000 sales, you're full time, right? And so it's really the intention setting that just got me with what you just mentioned. So one thing that we talked about that I mentioned in the intro and that I said earlier is that you are an international worker. You are American, yes?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't ask you that before, but you are an American. You're an American living in France. And so I want to touch on this because I think you're the first person that I've interviewed. I could be wrong. That is an expat. So what has been the biggest challenge of being an entrepreneur in a foreign country?
I'd say definitely learning the customs of that country, because it's one thing to like read about things and, you know, hear about it. But when you're there on the ground, and I'll give you an example. In the States, like if you want to go to the post office is open, like, you know, all day long. They don't stop in the middle of the day to take a break. Mm-hmm. And here, the post office closes. Some of them stay open, but most of them, they close between 12 and 2. So if you don't know that, and let's say you have a business where you're sending out packages or something like that, and you wait till like maybe close to the last minute and you go there and it's like 12 o'clock, the gates close. No, boo-boo. You won't be sending anything until after 2 o'clock. And so things like that is like learning new customs. And so me, the first time I went, I didn't have, you know, that situation of having to send packages, but I did have to like mail something. And I went to the post office and I'm like, well, okay, they're just closing the middle of the day. So learning those things is really important. Like if you can find out as much as you can before you go into a new place, it's really important.
Okay. So what is your favorite thing about being an expat or entrepreneur in a foreign country?
Oh, that's so crazy. But that is also my favorite thing is like the new customs, because like I always have learning experiences with these things. Like things happen and then I'll remember, you know, something about that, or it'll like make me change like how I operate, or I'll meet new people because like maybe the post office is closed and I end up standing out there and talking to someone and learning something about them that I can help them or they can help me. So like even though it's on one hand, it's an inconvenience, on the other hand, it's still fun and it's still an opportunity to learn, because it makes me like think on my feet, to be quick, to pivot and to like to adapt in a new situation. And I like change. I'm a person that likes change. So at the same time where I say like it can be annoying because, you know, you have an idea of what you want, you have like your schedule and you're like, okay, today I'm gonna do, you know, this, this and that, and then something just lands in your lap that says, okay, no, you're not going to do this because the post office is closed. Okay, well, maybe I'll end up going, I don't know, at a cafe and meet somebody there and start talking to them and then find out that I can help them somehow in their business, or they can help me in my business. It all works out.
I like that. That's a good way of looking at an inconvenience. I think a lot of times we don't look at inconveniences as a favorite thing. So I love how you kind of reframe that in your mind. That's a mindset term, reframe, right? I love how you reframe that as where it's like you like it. It's a challenge, but it's something that you enjoy. So if someone decided that they wanted to test the waters out, right? Because a lot of people now are digital, we call them digital nomads, right? Because they work online so they can kind of live anywhere. And maybe they, you know, with the world climate, maybe they want to move from their home country, their native country. What is your biggest, I guess, tips or steps that you can give for someone who is thinking about moving away from their home country?
The first step I would say is to do your research first, but also before you say, okay, I'm going to Costa Rica or I'm like going to Tanzania or something like that, think of, you know, what skills you already have. So step one is use your existing skills. You don't necessarily, maybe you're not going to be able to go to that country and get a job, because in some places that's, you know, highly unlikely. Either you're not going to have like a work permit, you're not going to be able to work in that country, like, you know, for another company or something like that. But you might be able to go there, test it out if you're just going for maybe 30 days or something like that, and still be able to use your existing skills. So what I mean by that, let me give you an example. I'm assuming most of your listeners are probably in the States, so they speak English. You would be surprised right. the amount of opportunities you have just being an English speaker, where you can, you know, teach, you can tutor kids in English, you can teach English, you can like get that teaching job already in America and still be considered a U.S. worker, but, you know, doing that from somewhere else. So use those skills that you already have. It doesn't have to be about, oh, I have to go in this country and work for somewhere else, or I have to go in that country and start my business right away. Like, use what you have first mm-hmm. as a stepping stone, because later maybe you will be able to start a membership where you're helping other people move abroad and use their English skills as a way to do that. But it's like, start with a step one. If you're in healthcare, for example, you can be a traveling nurse, which I just recently found out about. But you don't have to say, I'm going to go work as a nurse in such and such hospital. You can already travel, be a nurse in different countries and work for an agency. If that works out for you, once again, you want to be an entrepreneur, find out a way that maybe you can start a group. You can mentor to other people that are in the healthcare business and they want to branch out on their own. It's like, okay, well, now you've got that experience. You have those skills. You can start a membership. You can start a group. You can start teaching. You can consult and teach mm-hmm. them how to do that. But start with step one with what you already know before you try to, you know, jump to the end.
Okay, I like that. I think that's like a solid plan, right? Because I did mention a digital nomad, but you don't necessarily have to be digital to decide to take that move. So I'm glad you mentioned just using the skills that you have prior to, you know, or when you decide to move, or not using the different excuses that you don't have the work permit, you don't have these different things. So that's cool. I love that answer. So this is a question I always ask all my guests, because I know there's somebody out there that maybe they struggle with time management, or maybe they struggle with making videos, all the things we talked about today, or maybe spending time with their kids. They struggle with that while trying to build a side hustle, or even just they want to move abroad, but they don't know how. For any of those people, what one tip or however many tips you want to give, what advice do you have for them?
My best advice I would say is to pick one thing first, because now I know even I'm guilty of it. I'll see one idea and I think, okay, like that sounds great, let me hop on that. And then like you go on YouTube, go down the rabbit hole and start watching videos, and next thing you know, you're on a completely different topic. You like completely gone off course. So pick one thing first to test out. Give it some time. Maybe that might be a month, maybe that might be 6 months, but just like don't give up so quickly. Pick that one thing, give it some time to work. And if it doesn't, it's okay. You can test out something else, but start with that one thing.
I love that. And if you haven't read the book, The One Thing, that's also helpful. If you are like, well, I don't know what that one thing is, that book will definitely help you to pick which thing you want to choose. So before we wrap up, can you let the audience know where they can find you online? Or
sure. The best place to find me is in my inbox and email. I do have social media handles, so you can find me at Paperflow Designs, which is P-A-P-E-R-F-L-O Designs with guts.com. I have that on Pinterest, on Instagram, on Facebook, all at Paperflow. But the best place has got to be my email inbox. If you have questions, you want to reach me, you just want to say hi, you can write to me at Nad, that's N-A-A-D, at paperflowdesigns.com.
All right, Nado, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Mompreneur Mindset Podcast. I truly hope that our conversation has inspired and motivated you to take charge of your entrepreneurial journey. If you found today's episode valuable, please take a moment and subscribe and leave us a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your support means the world to me, and it's vital for helping me to reach more entrepreneurs like you and empower our growing community to thrive. Until next time,
Keep pushing boundaries, never settle, and remember, the world is waiting for your unique gifts that only you can offer. See you in the next episode.